Welcome to this evening's Monday-Thursday service of Redeemer Presbyterian Church. Scripture lesson this evening comes from Psalm 51, verses 7 through 13. This is the Word of God. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you.
Praise God. It's good to hear the Gloria Patri on this Maundy Thursday. We're going to be looking at the wonderful words of the 51st Psalm, a penitential psalm of David, very famous, looking at the middle part of it. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless this beautiful church, her outreach and ministry to all others who hear these words. On this day and on the Lord's Day coming, Easter Sunday, fill us with your Holy Spirit and awe at what you did for us in the blood atonement of Jesus on the cross. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Maundy Thursday is really a day commemorating cleansing from sin. The word Maundy itself is derived from the Latin cleaning. And on that day, in the first century, before Jesus Christ offered his life for his elect church on Good Friday, he had cleaned the feet of his 12 disciples, including, as you know, Judas, who was still in the company of those men. We'll recall that after the Lord Jesus cleaned the feet of his disciples, recorded in John 13, 1-17, they partook together of the last of the old Passover and the beginning of the new covenant supper, the Lord's Supper, which the church continues to enjoy. The Lord's action of applying water to the feet of his disciples spoke even more profoundly of the cleansing power of his blood that would on that Good Friday be shed on Calvary's cross. Now, David's many references to cleansing in the 51st Psalm are all allusions to the ultimate source of the remission of his and our iniquities, and that being the precious blood of the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world of all his elect, John 1:29. All of us need to be cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we continue to need that refreshment on a daily basis. This expunging from sin is the foundation of our church lives, and it is sealed in our water baptisms. Everything good flows from the throne of God and the cleansing blood of Jesus to us, his church. Therefore, together with joy, let's make it our goal on this Maundy Thursday to delight in the joyous liberty of justification in Jesus' blood atonement. We'll be looking at Psalm 51, verses 7-13. The cleansing power of Christ's blood is the title of our meditation today. Verses 7-9. Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins is the essential result of justification. We need to be justified precisely because we are guilty of sin. The priceless words of our Lord Jesus found in Matthew 26:28 at the occasion of, again, that Last Supper pretty well sums it all up. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let's now see how David's experience parallels ours today. Jesus' blood does purchase for us blessed forgiveness. Verses 7 and 8, God works repentance in us. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. All biblical references to repentance typically revolve around three developments and characteristics. First, a profound realization of sin, and its accompanying sense of the need to be purified from moral and spiritual pollution. Verse 7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. In the New Covenant, the hyssop branches would be used in Jerusalem in Acts 2 by the apostles to sprinkle the water of baptism on the many new converts coming into the church, having believed in Jesus and repented of sin. Secondly, there's an acknowledgement that our sin has caused us genuine grief and remorse. Verse 8a, make me hear joy and gladness. You know, there's no joy or gladness for a true believer persisting in sin. And lastly, there is a sense that as a son or daughter of God, we are under the Heavenly Father's chastisement and discipline, which is actually a form of His love. Verse 8b, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. And though God would do that, He does it for our good. Repentance is truly a grace and mercy of God. And those who know their need of it are truly blessed indeed. God works repentance in us. Now verse 9, God works faith in us, where we read, hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. David's passionate requests for cleansing were all born out of faith. If we have no faith, we don't ask God to forgive us. This really is the essence of faith, the request from the heart for forgiveness. David asks his Lord to do two things for him here that are of a slightly different nature from each other. First, that God would separate his, the Lord's divine personage, from David's own wickedness. Verse 9a, hide your face from my sins. David had a concern for his own God in this respect. And then David asked God to separate David himself from his own sin. Verse 9b, and blot out all my iniquities. This is at the heart of forgiveness and justification, that our sins are no longer held against us. Do you and I believe this good news? Everything redemptive begins with forgiveness in Christ and His blood. Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed forgiveness. Now verses 10 and 11. His blood purchases for us blessed renewal. With the remission of sins, and as a result of it, come all kinds of other marvelous benefits. Did David not say in another place, Psalm 32, 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. So there's a matter of character and faith development. A major result of forgiveness is renewal, or new fresh starts every day as new creatures in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed renewal by imputing His righteousness to us. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Rather than imputing iniquity to us, the Lord imputes Christ's righteousness to His elect church. What a blessing this is. The way God creates a clean heart and renews a steadfast spirit is through transfer. As He places our sin on the person of the holy and blessed Son of God Himself, and then replaces our sin with the Son of God Himself and His righteousness. This is gospel at its greatest core and wonder. Perhaps the single greatest biblical passage touching on this wonderful truth of transfer or imputation is drawn from 2 Corinthians 5:21, where Paul wrote this, for He the Father made Him the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The pleas for a clean heart and a steadfast spirit strike right at the core of the promises of the New Covenant. God reflected New Covenant theology when He caused the prophet to write these words in Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. What are we bearing around in our beings today? Hearts of stone filled with sin or hearts of flesh beating with love for God through Jesus Christ, His Son? Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed renewal by imputing his righteousness to us and by securing his righteousness in us. Verse 11, where we read, "Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me." Now, under the old covenant economy, it may not have yet been crystal clear to David that God would never abandon his elect, those for whom Christ would die, and in David's case would come in 1,000 years or so and die on that cross and rise from the dead. Nevertheless, there was still a sense in which the believer, especially when he or she realizes that they are in sin or we are in sin, need to do what Peter commanded in 2 Peter 1:10 and make one's call and election sure. I'm not so convinced that David feared losing his salvation as much as that he was simply overwhelmed by the guilt that he was living under at the time. That the Lord would not abandon his church children is abundantly demonstrated in both testaments of the Scripture, perhaps nowhere more clearly than in Hebrews 13:5b, where we read, "For he, God himself, has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" That is for a faithful and repentant soul. Are you and I secure as sons and daughters of the King? Or do we live as orphans with no home of our own, wondering if God loves us? We should live as secure children in the church, where a good and kind and wonderful Father is over all of us in Jesus. Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed forgiveness, blessed renewal, and finally, verses 12 and 13, blessed gladness. Sometimes we tend to forget it, but joy is at the very heart and foundation of the Christian life. Here's what we read about it in Romans 14:17. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed gladness through realization of God's grace, verse 12. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." David asks two things of his good and gracious God here. First, that he, David, might again enjoy the benefits of a right relationship with his Lord, verse 12a, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And secondly, that David might again entrust his soul's prosperity to God and to God alone, verse 12b, "and uphold me by your generous spirit." You and I were created to desire fulfillment and joy, but there's no joy outside of Jesus Christ, his church, and obedience to his gospel of grace. David certainly knew this, and he found it out afresh through this whole experience that led to the writing of Psalm 51, and each of us do as well. Jesus' blood purchases for us blessed gladness through realization of God's grace and through proclamation of God's gospel, verse 13. "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." All those who truly know Christ's grace will certainly demonstrate it in thought, word, and deed. David is really saying to God, "Your merciful kindness to me will undoubtedly cause me to herald or to proclaim the good news to other sinners." David is not making a deal with God here, promising to evangelize if the Lord does him a favor. Rather, sinners are converted by the mere and sheer and free grace of God in Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God works conviction, repentance, and faith in the elect children of grace. But the Lord does employ us as his mouthpieces. What is the gospel that we are constantly to proclaim? The good news that Jesus came and died for sinners, not good people, not people that don't need him, not people that are too good for God, not people that can look down their noses at others, but for real, genuine sinners. And that Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day. Peter the apostle, about whom the aforementioned sprinkling of water on those new saints in Acts was earlier spoken, said this in Acts 2:38 and 39. "Repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Let us once again put all our faith in the Redeemer of God's elect church. Beloved, the cleansing power of Christ's blood purchases for us blessed forgiveness, blessed renewal, and blessed gladness. Are we like David, longing to be clean? There's only one source for all moral and spiritual cleansing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ, the cleansing power of his blood. Let's pray with thanksgiving. Father, thank you for the blood of Jesus that has been shed for us and that has fallen to the sin-cursed earth and is now expanding the new heaven, new earth, new covenant church all around the world. And as we look forward to Easter Sunday, another Lord's Day, a Resurrection Sunday, great hope and newness of life, may we remember that before that was the crucifixion, the shedding of the blood of the Son of God, that we would have sins remitted. Thank you for the complete, full, and wonderful work of Jesus on our behalf. We pray with thanksgiving in his holy name. Amen.